December 19th, 2015. This show is about fat bike trails and grooming, and I must say that Andy looks damn fine because of it. This show, we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit.
Yes.
Instead of it being about sort of, you know, technical bike related stuff, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've had going on lately, because we thought that it might be applicable to others and, you know, might get other people fired up about developing fat bike trails, because that's basically what we've been doing. We've been making fat bike trails. We've been lining up grooming supplies.
I'm sure that you'll find a way to make it this fat bike trails kind of podcast.
There'll be some sort of geekitude in there.
Threads of technical trail building or something. So need not worry if you're out there listening, all four of you.
Yeah,
it'll be a dork show.
We'll put you asleep. Don't worry. So on that note, welcome campers, and we're gonna lead into the next section here soon.
Enjoying all the natural resources and breeze. When I looked up, there was nothing for me to partake of. The bike was already in the entrance, you see.
Well, cool. Here we are, mid-December, and there's not any white stuff whatsoever. Holidays are coming up, and we'd really like to get out in some snow, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Even with when the forecast is a slight chance of some lake effect, we're like, ooh, we're going to get snow. But in all reality, it's just going to warm back up next week for the long-term forecast.
But I'll be perfectly honest. I mean, as much as I want snow to ride on,
totally, yeah.
I'm actually kind of glad that we haven't had snow yet, because we've had a few projects in the hopper lately that are related to, you know, trail development and grooming and getting some cool stuff going on in our area. So it's given us a little more time to do a little more trail work before we got to worry about actually, you know, grooming trails.
How many miles of pink tape do you think you've been through in the last 2 months?
Oh, God, it's a scary thought.
A lot of rolls, though.
Yeah.
I noticed that you had to switch over to kind of a darker red.
Yeah, I have more, like, we're talking about that pink ribbon that you can, like the surveyor's ribbon. I know I've gone through more than a dozen rolls of it so far, yeah, and I think it's like 250 meters a roll or something.
It's
like
a bit
that
ridiculous. So there's a little bit of Pepto-Bismol on every fifth tree that Ken's going to tell you about what's going on locally here.
So yeah, what we're alluding to here is we've had a couple different trail projects. You know, in our area, we've had some really good fat biking, because we have, I don't know exactly the best way of describing it, but legacy snowmobile trails that we've ridden on quite a bit in previous years. But we really haven't had a whole heck of a lot of groomed trail. We had about 5 miles of consistently groomed trail at Crystal Mountain Resort. That was kind of nice. But to be perfectly honest, we had way better riding elsewhere that was just on snowmobile trail that got just enough usage that it would get packed in and be really good for riding, but it wasn't so much usage that you'd have to even worry about seeing a snowmobile on any given ride.
Yeah, I haven't heard that term, legacy snowmobile trail, but now that you defined it, it makes sense. There's a lot of trail those guys are out riding around that's not groomed.
Yeah, I mean, we've got several hundred miles of trail that kind of fall in that category, just within a little ways away from where we live. And it's pretty cool stuff, because, like I said, most rides, you don't see any snowmobiles.
No.
But they've done all the work of grooming and getting everything dialed in, and you get to go some really cool spots. And these are, a lot of times, it's a combination of public land and private land, but for whatever reason, people are totally cool with snowmobiles using it during the winter. They form a lot of corridors between some of the cities and the villages in our area, so that people can basically use their snowmobile from their house. And none of it's like official or anything like that, but once you kind of get to know the network, you can go some really, really, really awesome places. And it's way better than the groomed snowmobile trail for fat biking locally.
Back to the pink ribbon, though?
Yep. So that's... So what we want to do this year is we've been putting a big push on to get a lot more groomed fat bike trails. And this show is going to end up being talking about some of the projects we've got going on, because we have a couple different scenarios that might apply to other people around country, sure, world, whatever.
I'm sure our situation isn't unique.
No, exactly. We've got, like I said, we've got a couple different situations. So, you know, there's a pretty good chance that you might end up falling in one of these scenarios and might be able to do something similar.
Yeah.
If you're not already doing something similar.
What's the first project that you got going on?
So that is, it's called the City of Manistee Non-Motorized Trail Park.
Nice.
And I will tell you right now, that was a name that was made by committee.
Oh.
And yes.
Okay.
So if you couldn't tell by how long it was.
Right.
But no, this is, it's 180 acres of city land that was originally designated for entirely different use. I think it was like an airport or something. But then when they decided not to put the airport there, then they were like, okay, you know, the state is only going to allow the city to have this if they do it for recreational purposes, but then nobody could really figure out what they wanted to do recreationally. So it's just sort of sat around. And
it's about 3-4 miles out of town.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly. Just a little ways.
Yep.
And it was logged, back in about 2010, and there was very little oversight. They kind of trashed the entire area.
It ain't the prettiest piece of property,
no,
you'll see.
No. So, you know, basically this entire thing is kind of your classic cast off. Nobody knows what to do with this property. So, hey, what the hell? Let's build some trails on it kind of deal. So, back in like 2011, I ended up writing up a site plan that detailed, you know, kind of a long range, you know, 5 to 10 year plan, you know, submitted that to the city council, did a presentation in front of them, and got the okay to build a bunch of trail.
Oh, you were Mr. Important that night, yeah.
Yes. So what we first ended up doing is we built a bunch of cross-country ski trail. And what the rationale was on that is we built it all like 10 to 12 feet wide, so it could be groomed for both skate skiing and for classic cross-country. And during the summer months, the great part about it is you can drive a vehicle down. It's like kind of like a one-lane vehicle pathway. Mm-hmm. So you can get equipment out pretty much throughout the entire property without having to, you know, drive it, you know, a long ways. So it makes it very convenient to end up doing work with equipment. We've had a few different cool things going on. Like, the city ended up doing a big sewer project, and there's a lot of clay in the city.
Oh, yeah.
But, out at the trail park, all the dirt is, you know, basically just pretty sandy. It drains super, super, super well. So we ended up, you know, finagling the city to haul a bunch of clay out to our trail park and dump it out there. So we've got a dirt jump area and pump track and some of the other stuff where you want a higher clay content soil.
Needs a little bit of TLC.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all in place.
Yeah, we got to work on that. But, yep, I mean, that's – and the good part is we have a really good supply of dirt that you can make into features in the long run.
Yeah.
So the combination of having really good quality dirt that you can work with and form stuff out of, and having this trail network that you can transport that dirt all over this 170-180
sure,
acres on
sure.
a need to basis is going to give us a lot of flexibility in the long run to build bank corners, berms, and a whole bunch of other fun stuff to ride.
Rad, dude.
So, that's kind of the background information on this trail park. And one of the things that we've had the green light on to do is build single track. So what we decided to do is kick it off this winter and start building fat bike trail.
Well, the reason for that, didn't it come from grooming it in the winter for skate skiing and for classic? And then when some fat bikers went out there, maybe they ran a little bit too high pressure, or maybe the situations, and so now the skiers are whining again.
Yeah.
So, skiers didn't like it.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that is an important piece, because all these ski trails have been open up to fat bikes. And, you know, some
for
of
about
us...
3 years.
Yeah, some of us enthusiast guys have been out there a few times, but, I mean, quite frankly, we had way better options, so we didn't really use it.
Right.
But the cool part is, some people who I would say are not like your hardcore fat biker.
People are buying fat bikes and they need a place to ride them.
Yeah, and they ended up going out there. They didn't really know what they were doing, so they're running too high pressure, and they did leave some ruts and stuff like that, but it's not a big deal. But fat biking on ski trails, kind of a hot topic around here, and there's a couple of skiers that started getting vocal about it. So we were just like, all right, whatever. This is a good excuse to build some fat bike trail.
So
now we're building like 5 miles of dedicated fat bike trail.
90% done?
We're like 99% done cutting the corridor.
Okay.
And
we got, you've done most of the work, Ken, but a couple, you know, there's a handful of us that get out there when we can and give them a hand, but I think you did 5 miles of trail?
Yeah, it's going to work out to be almost exactly 5 miles of trail for this year. We've kind of set aside areas where we've got another 5 miles we can build out there. And then the cool part about this is, you know, I talked previously about our legacy snowmobile trails. This ties right into that entire network. So in that general area, you know, you've got probably 20, 25 miles of, you know, pretty good stuff to ride. 5 miles of which we know is always going to be primo because we're going to be able to groom it.
Right. So now the skiers have their 4 miles of trail, and the fat bikers will have their 5 miles of trail. And I can, you know, for some of the non-cyclist good friends that I have, that'll be perfect for them to go out and do 2 laps of that. They'll feel great, and it'll be awesome, and it'll get used, and people will keep on using it. The terrain is perfect for it.
Yeah, and this, I mean, I guess that's one other important thing on this. It's pretty flat property.
Total elevation of 12 feet.
Yeah, pretty much. That's about it. So, you know, whatever micro elevation we have, I've basically wound the trails up and down that as much as I possibly can. And, you know, we basically tried to make it both beginner friendly, but also pretty fun.
I think you did some great lines, you know, how you do the virtual handlebars as you're clearing the trail and kind of sweep through. They're like, this is going to be a great section of flat, twisty stuff.
Yeah. So what we've been doing, basic specs. We've been clearing, a pathway approximately 48 inches or slightly wider, through the woods.
And what we plan to do, and what you might plan to do, is to find an old retired guy who's really cool and can make shit.
Well, I think we've already done that, and we'll get to that. Okay. We'll talk about the grooming equipment here in a second. But so just kind of to lay down a foundation for what we're doing to prepare the trails. I more or less have laid out the trail in a way that's going to end up having really kind of classic mountain bike flow lines. You know, with carving corners and things like that. So it's not going to get boring. And I try to end up doing it in a way where we're going to have to take out very few trees and we're going to have very few stumps to worry about.
We took out very little.
Yeah. So, I mean, all things considered, it was fairly easy to end up, you know, cutting this corridor, but at the same time, you know, there's not a lot of stuff where you need a stump grinder or something else crappy, or you feel like you're, you know, killing the trees off and promoting global warming.
You didn't
always
pick the path of least resistance, though, when marking your trail, you son of a gun.
No. There was a few times that there was the leftover from the logging. There was some treetops that are out there that they're oak and they'll never rot away if we don't get them to touch the ground.
Right.
So I kind of employed our trail crew labor to get rid of some of those things and get rid of the eyesores.
How wide is that corridor?
It's like between 48 inches and 5 feet.
Okay.
So the reason why we ended up doing that is we ended up applying, and I guess we'll get into equipment now.
Okay.
We ended up applying for some grants originally when we built the ski trail, and we got like $20,000 to buy grooming equipment for skiing. So we got a used Ski-Doo Scandic 4-stroke snowmobile, basically a utility sled. It's a wide track. I think it's got like a 24-inch track or something like that.
Listen to you, snowmobiler, talking about
I turned into a snowmobile dork. We got, I think it's a 6 or 6.5 foot roller. And then we also got, I think it's 86-inch Ginsu.
Oh, Ginsu, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, for those of you that are skiers, it's a pretty standard versatile setup, and it's worked great. But the good part is, I mean, it's already out at the park, so we got this kick butt utility snowmobile that all we need to do is have something, you know, appropriate grooming equipment wise for the fat bike trail.
Yeah.
So we had planned on buying a Crothers roller, and
things didn't work out.
Yeah, it just you know, timeline wise things weren't aligning, but we ended up having a local guy who is really good. He's basically got his own little machine shop, and he's a great welder, and he's done a lot of work for us in the past at the trail park. And once he ended up seeing some pictures of these rollers, he's like, I'll do that. Had another guy who works at the city who had some of the correct drainage pipe. So between the combination of those two, we had someone who could build it. The guy that was going to end up doing the building already had most of the steel and everything to build it. So he's like, I pretty much have almost everything I need around my house. So, he ended up offering to build them up. So we took him up on it.
Nice.
And
we got a prototype.
Yep. We have a prototype built. We will include some pictures of that in our show notes. But it was kind of cool because he combined what I would describe as some features of the Crothers roller. And then there's a new roller available this year, the Wildcat Groomers. It's another Wisconsin person who's doing this. I would describe it as a more high-end version of the Crothers roller. They have some pretty neat features that they've included in it. And, you know, the guy, Bob, who's building our roller, he ended up, and you know, including a lot of the same features. So far has done a great job. I can't wait to end up getting out there and, you know, laying down some tracks for fat biking.
So the plan is to use that utility snowmobile, hook that up to the new fat bike groomer, and groom those 5 miles of trail this winter, and then next year.
Yeah, so okay.
Can we fit more? I think we can fit more trail in.
Well, even before that, what the long-term plan is that this is actually going to become a four-season trail.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, we're going to end up basically developing over the beginning of the year.
Right.
Some single track out there out of this. Mm-hmm. So, it's not just going to be a fat bike trail. And then come the fall, we're hoping to we'd left aside some open areas, and we're hoping to build somewhere around another 4 or 5 miles of trail out there.
So that'll be great. 10 miles of single track, and then accessibility to 20 to 30 miles of more Rogue Legacy. Sorry.
Yes, Legacy
snowmobile trail.
Yes, Legacy.
Not the Rogue, but the Legacy.
Yes. So, you know, it's a pretty cool project. Now,
yeah.
I guess the takeaways that I could offer as advice, you know, me writing up this trail plan, the site plan, it was a pain in the ass. I mean, the thing ended up being like 28 pages. I'll be the first to say it. Yeah. But doing that has opened up humongous doors. I mean, it just added a huge amount of legitimacy. So when presenting it to the city council, I mean, they just didn't even question it. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
What's the name of this park again?
It is the Manistee Non-Motorized Trail Park.
I am going to go to committee and suggest the KBS badass motherfucking place to ride your bike and ski.
Yeah, so, you know, that helped out a lot initially, but then it's paid dividends since. You know, we've been able to apply for somewhere around like $50,000 to $60,000 worth of grants to help out in that area. And I don't know exactly what factors have attributed to our success with getting those grants, but that trail plan, it certainly didn't hurt. So, you know, I mean, things like getting a paved driveway and all these things. I mean, you can drop $10,000 on that without even batting an eye.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had kind of a difficult situation because we had a completely vacant piece of land. Hopefully for you guys out there in fat bike land, you're going to have an easier situation where you've got some sort of established park that's already got some of this infrastructure.
Right.
But, you know, having that plan though really does help.
How'd you find out how to write up that plan? I mean, I remember seeing the proposed trails and everything. It was just something you just sat down and was like, I'm going to draw some frickin' purple lines through here and call it a trail.
Well, I'll be perfectly honest. There's a lot of examples out there online. Gotcha. So all I ended up doing was looking at what other people had done.
Site plans.
And be like, all right, so these are the basic formats. Okay, you know, it's like, you know, and it's anybody who has to write any kind of plan for a municipality or school or anything like that. I mean, these things all sort of form the same basic format. Gotcha. So,
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, if you're used to doing that, it's pretty darn easy. And the good part is, Like I had written it up for, you know, four season use. So there's a lot of good resources through the IMBA and some of their, they have a variety of books that are about trail building. So I was able to use a lot of information from that within this plan and actually, you know, be able to reference an official, you know, documented, you know, like source.
IMBA came and did a trail building school right here and used that piece of property. That you had already written for.
Yeah, that's
the site plan up.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. The IMBA has been, you know, really, really helpful with this because, yeah, we ended up getting the, what is it? It's not Trail Crew. I'm blanking on the name of it.
Yeah,
but
when they move around and do their trail class.
Yeah,
or something,
they basically
you know?
Ended up doing a trail building class out there, right. Which was really cool. And, you know, that helped train a lot of the locals on how to do it. Now, that said, I guess this is another time to kind of chime in. You know, the techniques that they taught us have been really effective at other trail systems, but in the case of the trail park, we're not going to end up really using the IMBA method for building trails at all.
Just because of the lay of the land?
Yeah. It happens to be a unique site where it's very flat. It has very good draining soil, and so we don't have to worry about doing all the shovel work and, you know, like, you know, bench cut, you don't have any of it out there.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't have any stuff like that you got to worry about.
And it just drains like a colander, you know?
Oh, yeah. So what essentially we're doing is we're cutting out the corridor, getting all the big stuff out.
Yeah.
We're going to mow it with a rough cut mower. That's still something we have to end up doing.
But we do have a finish mower.
Yes, we will talk about that one because that's got fat bike related
rough
stuff.
Rough cut mower, yep.
Yep.
Brush hog it.
So, yeah, basically, yeah, brush hog it. Get everything as low to the ground as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to use it this winter. And then come next year, what we're going to do is we've got our finish cut mower, which is kind of, I mean, basically think of it as a regular lawnmower type thing, but wider.
Yeah.
It's not something you want to end up going through a bunch of brush and weeds and crap through, you know, it's more grass type stuff. But we're new, we're gonna cut it really short because typically it gets fairly arid in this area and with a really good draining soil, a lot of stuff will die off midsummer. And probably actually a little bit earlier in summer, what we're planning on doing is getting a group of motorcyclists we know to go out there and go rip around on the single track, which is going to kind of...
I forgot about, Nitro Circus is coming.
Yeah, but I mean, we know these guys, they're going to go have a good time for a day and then, yeah, they're not going to ride it again. We don't have to worry about them screwing our trails up down the line. And it's going to be a lot more fun and a lot easier way for us to kind of get that, you know, root
that mat. Initial
yeah that you kind of you kind of have to get through that top layer there, which
that
is always
fibrous root system.
Yeah, it's always kind of punky if you're trying to ride on it. Right. It's bumpy and nasty.
Yeah.
So it's gonna allow that to get pretty much torn up, and we'll have to go through and clean it up a little bit, but that's how we're going to build our single track.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we got some interesting stuff going on that way. So I guess, you know, if there's some takeaways, another couple of pieces, and this is where I start to geek out. Yeah. But
wake up.
We've done a lot of stuff through our cycling club, which is a registered nonprofit. That opens a ton of doors. I also am on one of the City of Manistee committees. It's the non-motorized transportation committee.
We've got the non-motorized park going?
Yes.
Okay.
And yes, and that would be the committee that ended up creating the monstrously long name for it.
Right.
That's opened up a lot of doors because it gives me contact with different city employees and different city services and things like that. So I kind of have an inside track on that. We can end up using the nonprofit status of the cycling club mm-hmm. when we need to. So I kind of have the best of both worlds.
Right.
To be able to end up working one organization or the other with this park when I need to. So that's been kind of cool. That's been really helpful. And if you can do something like that on your local trails, I mean, that's a really good way to go.
Yeah. Get on committee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And as much as it can really suck when it's a beautiful day and you got to go to a goddamn meeting.
Yeah, exactly. At 5:30.
It pays off sometimes.
Right.
So,
can we go on to the next project?
Why, yes, we certainly can, but let's take a break before we do.
I need a beer.
I was craving from the natural.
Welcome back, campers. We're now in section two, and we're talking about our second trail project.
Our second trail project is happening out in the Manistee National Forest at a place called Big M, which is in the summertime, it's mountain bike trails. And in the winter, the Manistee Cross Country Ski
Council
have a groomer out there, and they groom about
it's about 18 miles of trail.
Okay.
So yeah, there's like,
so they groom that for classic. Yep. Cross country ski.
Yeah, there's like 35 miles of mountain bike trail in the area. A smaller, like half of that ish, about 18 miles is groomed for cross country skiing in the winter.
Yeah. And then you can probably snowshoe on the other stuff that they don't groom, but they don't do it for skating. But it's kind of an old school. It's an old downhill place.
Exactly.
And wasn't very, I mean, there was a couple hills there, but they had some really kick-ass classic.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really good, really classic good place skiing to,
yeah,
place.
Yeah, exactly. People come from all over.
Yeah. So, and that's been successfully going on for many years. You know, it's this really legacy group. But, you know, we've been talking to the National Forest Service about getting Fat Bike Trail out there. And a lot of other people have too, because, you know, the comment that we've gotten from talking to our representative at the National Forest Service is that they're getting a lot of requests for people to go out and fat bike.
They really want to see fat biking in the National Forest.
Yeah, and you know, this kind of ties in with trends that we're seeing elsewhere. We'll talk about Crystal Mountain Resort too, and what I mean, basically, all the numbers they're seeing is fat biking is way up in popularity, and cross country
because of Gomez,
exactly, father of fat biking. But I mean, like cross country skiing is basically flat.
Sure.
So you know, all these groups are basically trying to meet the needs of users.
Another option to get out and have fun.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, if I had to kind of toss out one piece of advice, there's a lot of really good published information about the growth of fat biking, and if you can toss it out to a land manager, that really has a lot of currency, because it is a very significant recreational user group that's coming out in the winter, and there's good numbers to back it up.
So we've been talking to the National Forest about this, and we said, hey, there's this mountain bike trail that no one uses during the summer because of how it was cut in. And they don't groom it for cross-country skiing. So can we possibly do some improvements to the trail and get some fat biking out there? And the original answer was yes.
Yeah, they were pretty stoked that we were willing to end up doing that.
So we got a 5-mile loop.
Yep. And we actually got approval to start grooming that last year, but things kind of fell through. Our local cross-country ski council, they agreed to use their equipment to groom it.
They were going to help us out, and they were going to groom that loop for us.
Yep, and it basically took a dump. Did not happen.
That ski council is just as a lot of, you know, non-profit, just recreational groups are in need of volunteers to help out.
Yeah.
And in that case, aging group, and yep. I think when we were like, hey, we're gonna do a fat bike loop out there, the groomers were like, hey, we've got someone else that's interested in running this track truck and grooming. And so I think they didn't have a choice but to welcome in a younger generation doing something new, but yet they would benefit from as well.
Exactly. But unfortunately, it didn't end up working out.
No, it didn't.
So we groomed
intentions
squat.
Were good.
Yeah.
Yep.
It just didn't happen. So this year we kind of took, you know, basically control of the situation, and we ended up doing some local fundraising, collected the money, and we ended up buying a long track utility sled, and Bob, he's going to be building us up another roller.
Right on.
So,
and this one will be better because he'll be able to tweak the prototype.
Yes, this is going to be version 1.2.
It's really cool though that just, you know, a group of cyclists in our community that slightly have an affiliation with a club, but yet just ride together, and that's more of our affiliation. We're able to put, you know, a couple hundred bucks here and a couple hundred bucks there, and we. Ken was able to score a snowmobile for us. So I think that's pretty, it says something about the guys that ride around here.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the way it is in most areas. You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of people that are super stoked about riding, and they're more than happy to contribute either, you know, through sweat equity or, you know, a tax deductible donation. And you know,
and that's
contribute.
Why we should be let back in the wilderness to ride our bikes. But anyway,
So we've got this fat bike loop. It's about 5 miles. The good part is there's a lot more trail, and we're going to end up seeing what's possible. There's a lot of question marks about what kind of equipment is needed. It's a lot more narrow. You know, if you look at the general trends in fat bike grooming, the Rokon, the two-wheel drive motorcycles are very popular on tighter single track. So in the long run, we're most likely going to apply for more grant funding.
But what we're
going to
need
Rokon.
Is, yeah, we're going to need to do that. So that's a question I had, you know, back in the last section is, you know, where is this grant money accessible? I mean, is there a lot of money out there that you just got to go kind of hunt and... If you're doing the right thing, they'll hook you up?
I can't speak for every area. I can only really speak for our area. And I'm guessing this applies a lot more places. But, in the case of Michigan, I mean, it's one of
the skinniest state in the world.
Yeah, yeah. We're definitely, you know, on the one of the fatter states out there.
Out of all 52 states, I think, you know, we're right up there.
Yeah, yeah, us in Mississippi. But right. Mississippi doesn't have a lot of fat biking. Right. So, So we got a fat state. Almost all of these different community foundations and these other charitable organizations have some place in their mission statement saying something about like health and wellness. So that's a really big thing. The other big thing is, like trying to get kids out more or trying, you know, healthy, active communities. And, you know, there's all these types of things where almost all of the community foundations and different charitable groups have something written in there about that. And this is a great example. You know, you've got yep. this, you know, you basically all the numbers apply very well when it comes to writing a grant for this stuff. You know, you've got these growing, you know, like legions of fat bikers.
Right.
You've got all these industry trends that are showing that's probably one of the fastest winter activities. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as growth goes, you can have a very sustainable model if you've got volunteer labor. Volunteer labor is huge.
Right.
I don't remember what it's something like $26 an hour, you know, that you can kind of put a monetary value on that. So for instance, at the trail park, you know, we're 200-300 hours into our efforts. So, you know, multiply that by $25-26 an hour. And, yeah. you know, that is a sizable chunk of volunteer
sure.
sort of contribution that you can flaunt out there in a grant application. So
on my application, I can say, I'm Jimmy from the Hey, Get Off Your Ass and Do Something Council. And I want to improve the status of the local citizen. They'll be like, well, that's a good idea. Here's $10,000.
That's exactly it. Yeah. I mean, it's nice. That really is kind of the gist of it. And I mean, they definitely take some effort to write the grants, but compared to what you get, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Right on.
There's just a lot of really good sources of revenue like that if you kind of know where to look.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that's one of the things in the long term that we're most likely going to use to get a Rokon. I'm hoping, you know.
Hint.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta start sharpening my pencil to figure out how I'm going to write that grant.
Right.
You know, the long term is we've got this, locally it's referred to as the Outer Loop. The Big M area is like a gigantic glacial poop. It's this mound in the middle of a bunch of other flat
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's a turd.
Yeah. And the ski trails kind of cover the inner portion of the turd. And we have the outer loop, which goes up and down the sides of the turd. And
how much elevation is there? Probably 400 feet, 500 feet?
I think it's 350 from, you know, bottom to top.
From bottom to top, okay.
Yep. So the outer loop winds, you know, from, you know, sort of the flats up to the hills and down again
yep.
and back and forth and, you know, going all the way around.
It's perfect for fat biking.
It is.
There's a lot of flats rolling and then there's some climbs that are doable.
Yeah, and, you know, at 15 miles, I mean, it would be a really, really challenging ride in
yeah.
full-on winter conditions. I mean, for instance... Scott Quirin and I were out there riding a couple weeks ago. We had a really good dump of snow out there. They
yeah.
got, you know, that's right in the snow belt. So this is another kind of big thing. They get mm-hmm. more snow than, you know, almost any other area in the state. Well, the lower peninsula, I should say. UP is a whole different thing. But they ended up getting like 12 to 14 inches of snow out there. a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Scott and I were out there, you know, basically doing a little bit of testing with the V-tire 2XLs and stuff like that. And it took us a solid 3 hours to ride 15 miles. I mean, it was a hard
ride.
Luckily,
there's snowmobile trails that go through, and there's other ways that we could groom around that stuff. As much as I'd like to be able to use those snowmobile trails, if we're going to do that, then we might as well find our own routes.
That's exactly it. And I don't want to make it sound like this is some slog that, you know, you have to be a top-end rider to do. There's a lot of good options that way. And that's the beauty of it. It can be, you know, a true on wilderness adventure, like, you know, test you physically, you know, or it can be just a great day out on the bike.
Right. And I think that it's more likely to happen because of the relationship that we've built with the National Forest Service.
And, you know, I guess that's one of the other big kind of takeaways. If I could
they
sort
see
of
our
preach.
Volunteer hours. They know who's taking care of the trail.
Yeah. Yeah. Making sure you're good about recording your volunteer hours.
Another
and reporting
reason
them.
Why we should be back in the wilderness. But anyway.
But, you know, a lot of this is about building relationships with our land managers and things like that. So, you know, we're kind of taking our steps and, you know, we're demonstrating that we can end up getting out there and we can groom this consistently and do a good job and
right.
that we're going to be good stewards of their land and blah, 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 all that other kind of stuff. And, you know, it's basically everything looks really good for us to be able to expand all this greatly
yeah.
in the future, as long as we don't screw this up in the short term.
Right. We had to do a little bit of trail work.
Oh yeah.
You know, to get it going, but it's all set and flagged and everything. So, we've got a couple other miscellaneous things that I think we need to touch on before you're totally completely asleep, and we'll get right back to those in just a moment.
And did not leave one petal of roses. My livelihood, you notice they stole that from me.
Welcome back, campers. We got kind of the miscellaneous trail situations we got going on around here, which
right.
might be applicable to you guys out there. So one of the other trail systems we've got is the Ludington School Forest Trails.
About a half hour south.
Yep. This is a situation where the cycling club ended up approaching a local school system in Michigan. Local school systems got school forests back God knows when.
Yep.
And in
big
the case
plot of land.
Yep, exactly. And it was kind of given to them so that they could build a school on it or do whatever. And in the case of Ludington, they've got two pretty cool chunks of property
right
that
on.
Are right by the city.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of you know, like hiking trails and things like that on them, but they didn't really have any like good mountain bike trail on them. So several years ago, cycling club ended up approaching first the school district. They got the okay from the school district to build trails. Also have approached the city, got the okay from them, and ended up building a little more than 5 miles of trail, which are really fun.
Super fun, yeah.
Yeah, and highly used by the public and everything. It's been a really successful project.
You have a disc golf course out there, too, for all you disc golfers out there, because disc golf and mountain biking kind of go together.
Yes. Luckily, one of the people that's really big into our cycling club has a big history in skiing. He used to end up being the head groomer guy for one of the downhill areas in Michigan.
He's the fastest man on snow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he is.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about that. Yes. We're referring to the Fat Athlon at the Vasa.
Fat Athlon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where it was a combination of skate ski on the Vasa trail and then fat biking. And he won it.
Yes.
He's a badass.
He is a BAMFer.
Yeah. So he has a lot of grooming experience and he had some local trails, which he groomed for cross country skiing. So
shout out to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Yep. Dave, you rule. He had a bunch of equipment that he could end up then using to also groom the fat bike loop in the Ludington School Forest.
So now you've got how many people? You know, you've got a lot more people down there. Two bike shops in town.
You know,
people are buying fat bikes. Are those hard to ride? I know that none of you have ever heard that question, but are those hard to? And then they get on and they're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm gonna go get a fat bike.
Well, and that in the case
so now I can go to the school forest and I can ride my bike there.
Well, and you know, by building these relationships with the city and you know the school system and stuff like that, we've also ended up winning a lot of favor with the local state park in Ludington.
Right.
They recently just ended up authorizing fat bike usage on the beach.
Cool.
So, nice. You know, there's been, you know, this is one of those snowball kind of things where you start playing the political game and, you know, it gets you someplace.
Nice.
So, you know, this kind of ties in. This basically adds in the fourth season for anybody, you know, Joe Blow walks into a shop and is like, man, those are some big tires. What can I do with that? Well, you can ride it on the beach. You can ride it on these groomed trails. You can do all this cool stuff. Yeah. And
those kind of guys don't want to go out in, you know, when it's bitter cold and there's no trail on them.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, they need that. And that's just gonna make fat bike even better and better.
Yeah. So, you know, some really good stuff going on that way, both for the local economy and also just, you know, making, you know, fat biking really accessible to Joe Blow. So that's a really, you know,
that's good.
Cool asset also.
Local. And then a half hour north, Crystal Mountain.
Yep. Crystal Mountain's really kind of dove head first in the whole fat bike thing.
So maybe you're like us and your local ski resort is opening up another activity for people to do.
Yeah, and you know, in the case of Crystal Mountain, it's known predominantly as a downhill ski area, but they've had 30 to 40K of cross-country ski trail for many, many, many years. And I was talking to the guy who's kind of heading up the bike world not that long ago, and you know, he was like, you know, we're just looking at the numbers. Cross-country skiing, totally flat. You know, all our numbers for the fat biking are just like up, 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 up. And
you got to respond to that.
Yeah. And, you know, they've had like 5 miles of groomed trail out there for a while. But this year they're doing a big expansion and they're going to bump up from, they're not even going to use the 5 miles of trail that they had previously used.
Oh, really?
And they've kind of added on some new cross-country ski trail so that they can take away some cross-country ski trail and give it to the fat bikers.
Oh, cool.
So there's going to be 9 miles of groomed fat bike trail.
Wow.
They've got some existing single track, which is kind of neat. For those of you that might know the Crystal area, there's a bunch of trails that kind of riff off of, Pineapple.
Yeah.
There's Crushed Pineapple and I don't know all the other ones, but, I guess that's all going to end up getting groomed. There's going to be a section of, the existing ski trail Aspen that kind of goes along County Line Road. That's going to all become fat bike. And then they've teamed up with the DNR and there's a sort of a state-owned area just to the west of Crystal Mountain, which is called the Betsy River Pathway. And they're going to end up grooming some sort of loop out there. I don't know the specifics on it yet, but I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that
state land is going to be used for fat biking. That's
exactly
that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
So there's going to be a sizable network, and not only have they increased the volume of trail that's available, but they're also sort of doubling down because there's really been one guy who's groomed fat bike trail and he's been doing a lot of other things. He wears a lot of hats. And it's not just going to end up being Chris this year.
Oh, okay.
It's going to end up, I think he said that there's going to end up being three people that can
sort of
be on the groomer list.
It was kind of hit and miss, you know.
Yeah. Before. And I guess that's the thing. You know, it's like a lot of times I ended up going up there and the grooming was because, you know, he's a busy guy and, you know, there'd been a snowstorm and, you know, he hadn't gotten out for a couple of days.
Right.
So having a lot more consistent grooming is going to help, you know, the quality of the experience for people.
Nice.
And there, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, go up to Crystal and want to have a winter experience. And this is going to be a cool way to, you know, sort of turn them on to fat biking is, you know, yet another vehicle to have fun on snow.
Right on. No, that's super cool that they're doing that. And what we really need is fat bikes to be in the wilderness. We've got this section. I don't want to reveal anything, but we've got this section we call Mordor because we can't go there. It's just too dangerous because you don't want to go
we've
there.
Got tons of stuff to ride. We don't have to touch the wilderness.
It's so nice, though, to be able to do those dunes. Anyway, all four people probably.
We're working on some other dune areas that are not wilderness area.
Right, right. Yeah.
We'll get there at some point.
Sleeping Bear is trying to put in some trails, you know?
Yep. We got some good stuff going on Sleeping Bear. Yeah. I'm just going to say Silver Lake, you know?
We're
going to work on that. We got a new land manager to work with. We got to see what kind of relationships we can build. So
once you're in Wisconsin doing their 40 miles of single trail, you can come and just bounce down the west coast of Michigan and get some groomed riding in too.
Yeah. So, you know, when you add it all up, I don't know what the exact number is going to be, but we're somewhere around, you know, 30, 35 miles of groomed trail in the area. You know, it's dispersed between several different spots. And then, you know, if you can hook up with some of the locals here, you're always more than welcome. We have tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of unofficial stuff that we would love to end up showing off and, you know, showing people a good time, because we got some good, really, really, really top quality stuff.
So probably after the new year, we'll come back with some type of technical, more technical podcast about fat biking, but trail building was at the forefront of this one.
Yeah, it's kind of sucked down a lot of time recently and kind of taken away from our fatbike.com contributions for a little while. But it's been for the good of the fat bike.
Right on. And we hope you get to relax over these holidays and maybe have a cup of cheer.
Yes. Or a few,
exactly. So happy new year, and hopefully this fat camp thing can continue on for a couple more months at least before, you know, Sven and Gomez pull the plug on us. But
yeah, you get too bored and fall asleep at the board.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. It's the NPR of fatbike.com.
Yes. So thank you so much, campers, and happy New Year's.
Indeed.
Thanks for listening. The music you are using on today's show is Trevor Flowers and Ike Kama, and their song Homeland from the Free Music Archive. You can find all our shows at fatbike.com, including notes for today's show. We went to school and learned all of their wickedness. Makes you realize establishment is within.